It's now time for the Bible reading, and our first Bible reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3, which is on page 946 of the Red Pew Bibles. Before we read, shall we pray? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible, your very own words to us. As we read and listen to these parts of the Bible, help us to understand what they mean to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Our second reading this morning is in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 14, and that's on page 916. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Well, good morning. I'm glad that we can gather here again today to think about this great big red cross behind me and what it means for us as people who have heard about God and responded to him. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, this idea of acceptance is not an intellectual or theoretical thing. It's real and it's personal. It touches parts of our lives that causes pain, as we saw even in the kids' talk just then. Father, I pray that as we open up your word today, as we look at the cross, that you can speak into our lives, that you'll help us to hear what you have to say to us, help us to see what you think about us, and that you would help us to respond accordingly. Pray this for your sake. Amen. So the question is, could I be truly accepted? We see in our society, and perhaps in every society, this longing to be accepted, to feel as though we belong, to feel as though we're not an outsider, isolated and set apart from everyone else. The desire for belonging is sort of deep in every one of our lives. We crave it. Some of us this morning may have known the joy of full acceptance in relationships, at least for a time. All of us, I suspect, have known the pains and the burdens of feeling like an outsider, feeling like you don't belong, that you're not accepted, that you're not part of the group. And this leads us to the struggle of accepting ourselves as we are. Our culture encourages us to embrace the true you, to try and discover who you really are and to live according to that, whatever you understand that to be. It's the Disney view of life. This idea that you don't have to live to your fears and you don't have to live to others' expectations of you. Those things will stop you from becoming your true you. The idea is to live a life that is authentic. You must follow your heart wherever it leads. Our society tells you that whatever you make your identity in is okay. As long as it's authentic, as long as it's the true you. And once you discover that true you, you have to stick to it regardless of what other people say. Taylor Swift, one of the biggest artists of our time in 2014, released her hit single, Shake It Off. It captures this idea of accepting yourself as you are, regardless of the criticisms of other people. The lyrics say things like, the haters are going to hate. People are going to criticize you and make you feel less than you are. But the idea is that you just shake it off. The song debuted at number one in the charts and spent 50 weeks in the charts, encouraging people to just shake off those who have different expectations or ideas about who they should be. Just shake it off. The challenge is, those things don't shake off very easily. For all the shaking off and the self-acceptance, there's this great battle to have yourself truly accepted and validated as you are. So much of our value and worth comes from the things that we seek to identify ourselves with, be that sexuality or gender or social media presence, be that your political views or your financial or material status markers. It might be your religious views or being single or married or divorced. One of the biggest wrongs that can happen in our society today is if you do not feel accepted for who you are. If you're made to feel like an outsider, that's a rejection at the level of your identity. And that's a deep wound in our society. People actually feel unclean. And that's why there is such a fight going on to have these things validated and be accepted by our society. Because anything less is discrimination. And so we live with this battle for acceptance. We want to be true to ourselves, but we also deeply want to belong and to be accepted. And often Christians seem to be on the wrong end of this, don't we? This idea that there is a God who has a plan for your life and the right to suggest what you should do with it seems like an overbearing monster. We want to determine our true self on our own. We don't want someone to tell us for us. Our society is convinced that a truly loving God would accept us as we are. The true you. No questions asked. And yet the cross standing here this morning tells a very different story. It tells of the truest and the deepest acceptance that you will ever know. One that is far deeper and more unconditional than the applause of 1,000 Facebook well wishes. Because it's the cross that enables God's plan to adopt us as His children to be fulfilled with all the acceptance and the love that comes with that. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. And the first thing I want you to notice is that God carefully planned our adoption at the cross. I invite you to open your Bibles back up to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 3 as we read earlier. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will. The God described in this passage is not some overbearing monster who wants to jam you into a box, but He's a loving Father. He waits eagerly as an expectant parent, the one who has been planning for the day when He will be able to adopt His children. This adoption isn't a family who's woken up one Saturday morning and decided they want to get a cat. This is something that has been planned out carefully from far before that. Before the world was even created, God reached out in love and carefully planned His adoption of His children. Well, before adoption agencies ever existed, before parents started filling out paperwork and assembling cots and painting nurseries so they could adopt, God had your picture in His wallet and was eagerly looking forward to having your drawings on His fridge. If you remember nothing else this morning, I want you to remember this. When you first hear the word adoption, I don't want your first thought to be the human adoption of a child. I want your first thought to be God's adoption of us as His children. The American pastor John Piper says that adoption is greater than the universe because adoption came before the universe. Even more than that, adoption is the reason the universe was created. God created the universe so that He could adopt His children, so that you could be in relationship with Him. This adoption is an incredible gift, and it was not a necessity. The word in verse 5 that it says adoption to sonship is the technical term for the full adoption in the Roman society of a full male heir, with all the rights and privileges of a natural-born child. Now, adoption in the Roman world was for the benefit of the parents. So a wealthy couple might go out and try and find a young man of good character so that they can pass on the family estates and everything with that to them, so that he can then take responsibility for looking after them in old age. They do it for their own benefit. And yet this adoption that we see here in Ephesians is the other way around. It's not because God was lonely that He wanted to adopt, or incomplete, or selfishly needed anything from us. He legally made us His children out of love. An incredible other person-focused love. He did it so we could be included in His family. And I think the language of adoption then captures this beautifully. So when you hear that word, first think of God's adoption of us as His children. And then look around to see the great examples of how that is shown and illustrated in the human adoptions that we see. This brings us to our next thing to notice today. The cross is what makes our adoption possible. Now, adoption has changed a lot in Australia and actually around the world in the last few decades. The change in the stigma of being a single parent and the other resources and things that are available to single parents has meant that more keep their own children. Unfortunately, the tragic rise and change in abortion laws also make it possible that people can actually see that as a way of getting out of unwanted pregnancies. The end result is that there is far less children available to adopt than there was in previous generations. And that's also true overseas. In fact, in most of the 13 countries that Australia has adoption relationships with, all the children that you can adopt come with problems. They might be health issues, either major or minor health issues. They might be learning difficulties. They might come with additional siblings and those sort of things. Or they might come with the behavioural problems associated with a pretty difficult and traumatic life. This is, of course, also true of foster children. But this change in adoption and what goes on actually gives us a really helpful perspective in understanding what it was like for God to adopt us. We don't come to God as perfect specimens ready for adoption. Yet God accepts us anyway, brokenness and all. have again a look at verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his glorious, with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace that he has lavished upon us. The truth is, we come from the file in the back of the room that says, do not adopt. God opened up that file, pulled out the paperwork, and began to have a read. Opening it up, having a look at the picture, and reading the description underneath. He reads this: prone to rebellion, likely to run away, gets angry at the smallest things. We'll keep asking for more and more pocket money. Spends too much time on Facebook. Is preoccupied with themselves. It's lazy. Then he opened up the next file and he took a read. This is what it said. Disobedient. Complains all the time. Not good at listening. Thinks everyone else's parents are better than theirs. Judgmental of others. Will embarrass you in public. Thinks their job makes them important. As he looks at the files, there's no reason why God should ever love us. Why should ever open up that file and choose to adopt us? The file has big red letters plastered on, do not adopt, for a reason. And yet God picked up those files and he took them to the cross, which he had carefully planned out from the beginning. The place where his perfect son suffered, bled and died for the forgiveness of our sins and for our brokenness and our shame. Because it's at the cross where God picked up those papers and he stamped them, paid in full. See, the cross doesn't just deal with the punishment of our sins and getting us out of the punishment that our sins deserve. Because the great judge didn't just do that, but he actually took us home to be with him forever. He picked up the papers and in rich grace he signed the forms, adopting us as his children. Took off the photos and he placed them in his wallet. This isn't stingy love. It's extravagant love. And a gift that is richly and permanently lavished upon us. This is true and deep acceptance. It's not the conscience-dulling applause of 1,000 Facebook well-wishers who accept the identity that you present to them. It's not the lie that everything is okay as long as you're true to yourself. The cross is an acknowledgement of the brokenness you feel in your most honest moments. The doubts that creep in when you've done everything that you can do to be happy and it's still not enough. It recognizes that the acceptance that you feel is shaky and could erode at any minute, leaving you outside and alone. It's the acceptance that says, I've read your file. you're not okay. And I love you anyway. It's an acceptance that's not built on a series of conditions or images that we've made of ourselves. Rather, a more fundamental acceptance of you. And not what you like or what you've done or the things you're into, but you are deeply loved. It's the acceptance that you crave. Because it's the acceptance you were made for. Even with all your flaws, with all the false things that you have set your identity on, God has stamped your adoption papers. He says, you are my child. I love you. And I'm not going anywhere. I read the story about a guy named Vodi. He's now almost 50. He and his wife have two biological children, and they have adopted 7 more. The youngest is 2 years old. This guy's nearly 50. This is what he says. Until I became a father to adopted children and was able to look at my children and know they are as much my children as those who are related to me biologically. I wasn't able to understand and grasp what it meant to be God's child, because we are God's children by adoption. When you understand adoption, you get that. We are his children. And he's not going anywhere. Vodi experienced both the heart of God's adoption of us and human adoption. The deep, I am not going anywhere love of a parent. Adopted kids aren't going to be perfect. They might have health issues or trust issues. They might steal or rebel. And yet these things are such a powerful illustration of the good news of Jesus. God didn't adopt us because we were perfect. Each of us should have "do not adopt" written on the folder of our lives. And yet it's the cross that makes our adoption possible. In the riches of his lavish love, God stamped our papers, forgave our sins, and took us home to be his children. And he's not going anywhere. This brings us to our last point this morning, and it's something we've already glimpsed. Adoption means the acceptance of a loving father. God's adoption of us is a massive, firm, legal reality. It's real. But it's also more than that. It is a deeply personal, strong, and full-hearted emotional reality. So it's not just theory. I invite you to flick over to Romans chapter 8, where we read these words. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The language of adoption changes our picture of God. God is no longer distant and unapproachable. God is no longer the overbearing monster who wants to tell us what to do and force us away from our true identity. Rather, he is a father who is dear to us. One that has accepted us in a better way than we could ever imagine. By the Spirit, we call him Abba, Father, which is the same personal and intimate language that Jesus uses when he talks to God. Adoption like this doesn't leave our lives the same. Note the contrast between the fear of a slave and the harsh boss or master that they find themselves under, and the joyful and peaceful affection associated with being a son or a daughter of a loving father. That's the contrast that we see that goes on here. And this isn't an intellectual or theoretical thing. It's actual, it's real, and it's felt. The Spirit actively makes us aware that we are God's children. We are changed when we know deep down in our core that we are accepted. That without question, we can call God our Father. In the same way that any child who is loved can call their father, Father. The option sits before you today to no longer live as an orphan or someone on the outside. The true acceptance of a loving Father is offered to you at the cross. You are free to continue to live your own way. That's your right. You're free to do that. But you will remain on the outside, craving the attention and the acceptance that you have refused. Or you can believe. It's almost the voice of God. You can believe what Jesus has done for you is true. You can admit that you should be in the do not adopt folder. You can ask for forgiveness that is freely offered at the cross and commit to leaving your past ways behind you. It will require you to submit your whole self to Him, coming under His good fatherly leadership, like an adopted child into a household. That is a cost, yes, but your life will never be the same. You'll experience acceptance at a far deeper level than you could ever have imagined before. Acceptance from the one who knows you completely. Not just the image you put forward on Facebook, but knows the true you. And He opened up your file and He stamped your papers anyway. The Father who is not going anywhere. If you want to know more about that, please come and see me or Graham or the person who brought you here today. Because this stuff is too good to miss out on. Sign up to Christianity Explored and come and find out about Jesus and how the things that happened at the cross make all of this stuff possible. It's worth it. I want to finish this morning with a story of a Caucasian couple who had adopted a two-week-old African-American baby. They went to church that Sunday morning and someone came up to them and said, "Will you tell him he's adopted?" The guy looked at them stunned for a little while, kind of waiting for a smirk or a smile or something to come across their face. It didn't come. Thankfully, he had the self-control to say, Yeah, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to let him know." What's interesting, the father says that if it's true that the first thing we should think of when we think of adoption is God's adoption of us as His children, then whether the parents are the same as the children or not, whether they're the same ethnicity or not, of course you tell them. Because adoption is one of the clearest pictures of how God feels about us. That's what you want that child to grow up knowing. And you want the people around you to know as well. So from now on, I want to get you to keep that picture in your mind. When you think adoption, think first of God opening up the do not adopt folder of your life. Of stamping that paid in full, signing off on being your parent and taking you home to be with him forever. Let that warm your heart, even as you see humans doing a glimpse of that same thing. Amen.